Okay.
It's gonna be really funny, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our beautiful, wonderful, terrific, not so bad podcast, huh?
Yeah.
Yay. Anyways, yeah. We have a special
guest.
Okay,
so we have a guest
us.
Today's name is David. His last name is, we're going to say his last name, his address. Give us everything. Your SIN number,
where do you live?
Credit card number, three numbers at the bank.
Yeah, my name is David.
Are you our friend or what?
Sometimes.
How do you know us?
Hey, David, introduce yourself.
Yeah, so my name's David. Apparently, I'm interesting enough to be on a podcast.
No, you're not.
Dude, he's, you begged us.
Yeah,
to be
he's
here.
Been begging us for a long time.
David, when are you going to come? David, when are you going to come?
Okay, so. Okay.
But no, none of us here are actually interesting enough to have a podcast.
Yeah.
That's true.
Facts.
So I'm going to have to figure out like a good way of.
All right.
Andrew Yang, 2020, secure the bag. Vote for Andrew Yang.
Can you give us like a background story on who this guy is and
what
he does?
Wrong with you?
Okay, so right now, what's going on in the world of the internet and in the meme world?
What happens if it's red?
Just let the person know to quiet down.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I yelled at that.
Andrew Yang,
secure the bag, dude. Okay,
yeah.
Be part of the Yang gang.
Gang, yeah. If you're gonna yell, just go a little farther.
Yang gang, okay? Secure the bag. Okay, so Andrew Yang is a politician. No, he's not a politician, but he's running for president in 2020 in America. And he's basically running on one idea, and that's called universal basic income. So his idea is that he's going to give everyone in the world, not everyone in the world, everyone in America, $1,000 a month. Like with no catches, no strings attached, just give them $1,000 a month. So $12,000 a year. And the reason that he's doing that is he's like, robots are going to replace all of our jobs. We're not going to have any work to do. So we might as well implement a program that gives people money no matter what, so that they have enough income to survive on, because they're not going to find any work to do because the labor market is changing and robots are going to basically automate all the jobs away. And now there's a huge meme on the internet where the people like on 4chan and all those guys who like memed about Donald Trump, they're all memeing about Andrew Yang now. So like they're all like leave ditching Donald Trump for this guy Andrew Yang. So it's pretty funny to watch.
Yeah.
wait, so where does this like money come from?
Well, taxation, right? What he wants to do is he wants to like replace all social like welfare programs with this program of just giving people $12,000 a year. That's it. That's his idea.
And yeah. And what part about it do you like?
I don't know if I like it, actually.
But you're like, vote for him.
No. I'm kidding. I'm being ironic.
Oh, okay.
I don't like it. I don't know what I think about him yet. I'm just
my
like,
opinion is bad. I don't like it.
I think me and Anthony are in agreement on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you like it?
I just don't think it'll solve. You can't run an entire platform on universal basic income.
Yeah, that's his whole thing. Like he doesn't have any other policies. Really.
He doesn't have like any views on immigration, any views on the environment,
any views on foreign policy. Like,
yeah,
nothing.
He's just running his whole campaign as we're going to invest $160 billion of the government's money. Just so that everyone can, or 160 what million?
I don't know
billion?
How much it's going to cost. Actually,
it's going to cost a lot.
It's going to cost in the billions.
I think it's
somewhere.
Billion, 160 billion dollars every year, just so people can get.
So the whole idea is to continue on the whole trading aspect.
Do you know why it's good? Never tell you about universal basic income. You ever research it? Do you know why it's good, David?
No, not too sure.
David, say something.
Okay, so can you like elaborate a little more, maybe explain it a bit better, universal basic income?
Yeah.
What, my explanation wasn't good enough, David?
Do you not see the benefit for it?
He wants an explanation.
That's based
first.
On the assumption that like robots are going to take over in the next few years. I feel like that's not entirely like an accurate assumption.
Okay.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah, no, they are going to take over.
In 2020.
Not 2020, but you need to start early. You can't just like be rude. They're going to take over gradually, job by job, you know?
Mm.
And then if you're not prepared for them to take over, you know, then people are just going to start losing their jobs slowly, slowly. And so many people are going to become unemployed. You know, you got to help out the people that are the first to lose their jobs, kind of thing.
So the idea is, like, there's nothing that we can do for you in terms of work, so we're just going to give you enough money to survive, which I don't think is going to help.
That's a really dystopian future. Yeah, I mean, bro. Like, if you're just going to sit at home and not work, like, that's so sad.
Because, like, working and doing.
Wait, you don't agree?
No, I just feel like that's so stupid.
What?
Like, the idea of sitting around and doing nothing at home.
Well, inevitably, you can see that that's where it's going. Like, know, we're just going to we're going to be stimulating our brains through, like VR, just so we could, like feel like we're doing something useful. Or, like, useful through Soma, like, in our life. Brave New World, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to make us incredibly unhappy, because, like, if it's true that robots are going to replace our job, like, we need work to get a sense of fulfillment, you know what I mean?
Just some sort of stimulation, like when I sit around and I'm off school, like, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go crazy.
But we do that anyways. Like, people who are, like, out of work or not going to school, they just, like, sit around either on the internet or playing video games to, like, stimulate themselves anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
it's a sense of accomplishment that everyone wants to have. And if there's no sense of accomplishment, then
$10,000 a year.
There's nothing else to do, really.
Yeah.
And it's just boredom. And, like in the summertime, sometimes we feel really bored. And, like, if you're talking about school and summer, we feel really bored in the summer because there's no motivation. There's nothing to do. Even though, there's no stress from the school.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, you want to do something. Sometimes some people miss school.
Right.
Have you ever heard of that?
Like, because summer's, like, too long.
Or work. Like, just being productive.
Yeah.
And, like, being productive in your community as well. When I'm working, like, when I'm back after, like, school or whatever, when I'm working, like, there are times where I feel like, I feel like I'm doing something. I feel like I'm helping the people in my community when I'm working. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then, like, you lose that if we're going to say that robots are.
But, you know, that's basically the Unabomber's manifesto, you know? That's, you know, the Unabomber? You heard of, you know, the Unabomber, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The university and airport bomber.
Yeah.
University is an airport bomber. You've heard of the Unabomber,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. What? I remember this.
We discussed this before. Me and David.
Ted Kaczynski,
yeah. Okay. His entire view was that we're advancing too much. Civilization's advancing too rapidly. And it's like we have no more. We're not like getting any more like meaning in our lives. Back then, you used to do everything yourself. Like you'd build your own house. You'd like get your own food. You'd do everything yourself. And that's why people are so depressed these days. So his whole goal was the way he went about it was he destroyed universities and airports because they were like the progression of the future, you know, transportation and education.
But he was talking about the Industrial Revolution back then. He thought it all started with the Industrial Revolution. But, like, things got better after the Industrial Revolution. Like, people were working on, like, people were living in agrarian lives, just, like, farming, living off the land and barely surviving. The Industrial Revolution came about and, like, people, like, were...
But I don't think he's poverty. Talking... He's not talking about, your quality of life. He's talking about your sense of fulfillment from what you're doing.
But, I mean, like, were people fulfilled before? Like, I don't know, you know what I mean?
He's like, if you're doing a factory job for a big company, right? And you're just like,
well,
kind of fulfillment do you get from like stamping like pieces of metal all day, right?
Yeah,
he's like, you would get more fulfillment if you're directly going after your goals rather than like indirectly like getting money for it.
But you know who else said that? Like,
rather not do anything than stamping every day.
You know, Adam Smith.
You know what I mean? So you don't know, right?
Well, yeah, he's saying. You know, it's just, I'm just saying, you know.
Because we were talking about, like, if you had no job, it'd be really boring. But then if you had a job, but it's a really boring job, would you rather be in that job, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Like, we're finding fulfillment now in our work.
Are you really, though?
More than prior generations.
Yeah, well, more than the Industrial Revolution.
More than the
But he says when you're directly going towards the goal that you want, you get a more sense of fulfillment.
No.
Like when you're building a house so you could live in it, it's more fulfilling than if you're like chopping up wood for someone to use it to build a house so that someone else could live in it. I mean, even if it is your wood goes to your house in the end. What do you think, David? What do you think?
I feel like I can back up what Andrew's saying. No matter how boring the job is or whatever you're doing to sort of achieve that sense of fulfillment, like you need to be doing something.
Yeah, but I'm not saying I'm arguing the other sense. I'm not saying doing nothing is bad. I'm saying we're slowly going towards doing nothing.
I think there's a lot of fulfillment with the house example that you gave.
Okay.
Like, if I were to buy a really nice house, I would feel really, like, accomplished, right?
Compared if you were to buy a really nice house?
Yeah, compared to me building that house.
I think you'd feel more accomplished if you'd feel more, like, a sense that you're doing it for yourself.
But you know that you worked hard to earn a house like that, and you didn't have to build it as well. Like, there's so many benefits. You feel like...
But I don't think you see where I'm arguing from at all. Say what you want to say.
Go. Okay, wait. So explain your argument once more.
Okay, so we were talking about, like, automation, mm-hmm. yeah. basically. And we're saying automation's bad. And I was like, okay, so, like, if automation is so bad, what can we do to solve this? Stop progress so that automation doesn't get to a point where it takes over our jobs? Because if we don't stop progress, inevitably that's what's going to happen. It mm-hmm. took over factory jobs. It took over farming. It took over farming, then factory. And now it's going to take over these jobs. And then not like for sure, but you could see.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. Yeah.
You don't know yet.
But you could see if it keeps going down this path, then inevitably there's going to be so little work for us to do. I think. I don't know. So what I'm saying is how are we going to solve this? Stop progress. And I'm saying that's exactly what Ted Kaczynski said. Stop progress. We need to, like, regress.
But that's not a bad progress. Idea, right?
You think that I think they're both, like, extremes.
Yeah.
I don't know. But staying where we are now isn't, like, optimal. It's pretty good, but it's not, like...
But it's a better choice than the extremes.
I guess because of we're living in it right yeah. now. But, like, people living in 100 years, maybe, like, that's so bad how they lived back then. Kind of. I don't know.
I feel like there's no way we're just going to sort of stagnate where we are right now. We're going to hit one of those extremes eventually.
Yeah.
But we are. We have been stagnating, I think. We haven't made much progress in terms of...
No, life. I feel like even small things like food delivery jobs are being taken
Don't
over.
Don't play with that.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Do you want something to fidget with?
Yeah, could you give me your fidget spinner? Oh, no, I think I stole it from you, actually.
You do? Okay.
No, don't worry. I'll fidget with my phone. Anyway, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
No, I feel like we will. Like, where were we?
So we're saying progress is going too fast. And if progress keeps going the way it's going, we're going to have no jobs and we're going to get no sense of fulfillment. But if we regress, we're going to decrease our quality of life.
Exactly.
We're not going to have
the trade-off.
We're not going to have food. We're not going to have, not everyone's going to have access to sanitation, clean water, food, electricity, communication if we regress.
We're going to have a shorter life expectancy.
Exactly.
As well.
Health is going to go down. Quality of life and quantity of life is going to go down, but we're going to get fulfillment. But if we keep going towards progress, we're not going to feel fulfilled at all because we're going to have no sense of like fulfillment, but we're going to our quality of life and everything is going to go up. But
it's scary when you think about it.
Yeah. And then if we stagnate, like that's going to, I don't know how you could stagnate.
There's no winning.
There's no way to stagnate.
There's evidence to suggest that we have been stagnating. I mean, people have been making progress in the research, but in terms of like the technologies that we've actually the technologies that we've actually, I'm like a little kid. Ant just gave me something to fidget with because like I can't stop fidgeting with the mic.
Yeah, he keeps touching the mic. It makes clicking sounds, doesn't it?
No, I didn't hear it.
I'm careful not to fidget with the top part here, which was making sounds in the last podcast.
No, but if you like accidentally like unplug this a little, every 3 seconds gonna be like click 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 every time you talk.
Okay, I haven't touched it.
Yeah, like make sure it's pushed in and then this.
It is pushed in.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so you were saying there's evidence recently to suggest that we're stagnating.
Yeah, okay. So there's a book that I read called The Great Stagnation. It's by this economist called Tyler Cowen. And he's like, basically since like the 1970s, we haven't made much progress on anything, really. Like, except, okay, so the tech world, we've gotten apps and stuff like that. We haven't made much progress in terms of like radically changing the way that we live our lives. Like, imagine what it was like before the internal combustion engine, and imagine life after that, where we started to have cars. Dramatic change. Before planes, after planes. Dramatic change. Like, right now we have laptops and smartphones.
Yeah,
and, like,
I think
those are nice, and those do like improve our quality of life, but not to the extent to which.
Really.
Yeah, no, I completely disagree.
I
we've made progress, but in a different field.
Yeah,
Like what?
Like all of this autonomous technology, like Tesla.
Even technology in general.
How has that made our life dramatically
okay, better? So the biggest like leap in like the 1800s was the printing press, mm-hmm. right? So now books didn't have to be manually written, mm-hmm. and everyone had access to reading, and that greatly increased like literature mm-hmm. and communication.
Yeah.
Okay, the Gutenberg printing
press. Yeah.
Right? Then like factories, mm-hmm. like the Industrial Revolution with mm-hmm. the factories and everything. You could buy much more things, like, much more cheaply. You know, mm. things were much more efficiently. People moved from, like, farming to urban, mm-hmm. like, lifestyles or whatever. And then their quality of life went up. Food production went up. Everything went up. Mm-hmm. So that's a big revolution kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm arguing after the 1970s.
Yeah, okay. And then cars, planes.
Yeah.
That's transportation. Mm-hmm. And now we have the internet, which is communication, just in the 1990s. It's when mm-hmm. it got big. Mm-hmm. No way would people in, like, the 1960s or 70s have much access to information that we have right now.
Yeah.
The amount of information we have access to, we have everything at our fingertips. Right. That you'd have to go to 100 different libraries around the world for mm-hmm. back then, just to get. That's insane. That's a huge.
I agree with you on the internet part. That's like the exception. But okay. Think about like medicine, for example. Before, people were dying. Okay, like in World War One, uh-huh. most people died of infections than they did of like gunshot wounds or whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then antibiotics came along, completely revolutionized. And vaccines came along, completely revolutionized medicine, dramatically increased our life expectancy. Now, today, like our biggest disease that we have to fight against is cancer, basically.
That's
and we
true.
Still don't have any. We're making progress in the research, but it hasn't translated to.
Yeah, but
it hasn't translated to good, effective treatments for cancer. We still don't have that. Cars. So what have we? Let me just
finish your argument. Finish your argument. Go.
Okay. Transportation. So what have we what have we changed in transportation?
Not much. I agree.
Like Bluetooth. Okay. We have Bluetooth. We have like rear view. Like it hasn't changed that much. Okay. Electronic cars. Okay. But they're not dramatically better than combustible. Like the cars that we have today. Right?
Okay. I agree.
And okay. Planes. Still the same thing. Planes have not.
Right.
Transportation.
Transportation
hasn't changed much. Energy. What about energy? We don't have alternative sources of fuel.
But dude,
now.
I think each field has its own like revolution, like its own jump and spike where like we make so much progress over time and then it stagnates for a while. Like transportation.
Right now, but what I'm arguing is we're in that stagnation. Right
no,
now.
Because we're increasing like the information field. That's where we're in right now.
Okay, here's what I'll say.
Information and communication, texting, Facebook, there's all these social
networks.
How has
that made our lives dramatically better? You can make an argument that social media has made our life worse.
Okay, but you're
actually
focusing on the specific. I'm just saying we're drastically changing really quickly when it comes to these aspects.
Changing, yes, but what I'm saying is like
back then you'd live your life quiet, like in quiet. I'm not saying right now social media is better.
Yeah.
It's not better. I don't know if it's better or worse. We'll have to like look back in hindsight in like 100 years to figure out whether it was actually better for us or worse. Mm-hmm. Like you can't tell that while you're like in it right now, I don't think.
Well, we've been in it for quite some time and it's only like
I don't know. Texting, communication, dude.
That's good. Like, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Texting and communication and FaceTiming, that has improved our lives, but I wouldn't say dramatically. We had telephones.
I'm not
before.
Saying
we had know what I mean. We had okay. Anyway, sorry, you were gonna say something. Dave?
Yeah, no, Dave wants to say something.
I feel like just to back up what Anthony's sort of saying.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's probably gonna be a pretty poor explanation, but I think you guys all get it. So I don't think I think what you're arguing is that information hasn't really proven to change much, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like information directly won't change much, but since we have such like readily access like to all these sort of sources and things, we can use the information
mm-hmm.
to sort of advance in each field. Like you can have so much more research done in every single individual field just because of how readily available information is.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the information directly that's helping you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that now I can like look at anything I want to and hypothetically make some sort of
and the advances in medicine have been insane.
Yeah, no, like it's insane.
Cholesterol medications, like high blood pressure medications, ACE inhibitors, all that stuff.
Cardiovascular disease incidences are going up, not down. We've been finding ways to treat them, but like
yeah, but that's because people would die much earlier of them back then.
I feel like specifically with like medicine,
mm-hmm.
like I'm doing my dissertation on something called Tanqueray's. So there's new biochemical pathways that we're discovering that we don't know anything about. Like
mm-hmm.
this opens up so much opportunity for like therapy and like cancer and everything. No, like there's so much potential. I feel like we're definitely going to make some sort of jump in the next few years, 100%.
Okay, Andrew, you wanted to say something, Andy?
Yeah, like the advancement of using the technology makes everything go so much faster. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest aspect by the whole communication, what you were talking about, even as simple as texting. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're not sure about a research paper or whatever, you have the ability to contact the people who made it really, really quick.
Exactly.
It's not just
email, right?
Yeah, that's huge. You can email them, yeah. And it's not just like sometimes you might read it, and yeah. Then in the old days,
without back then the internet, you take 3 days just to communicate with someone by post.
How
can you
figure out? Yeah, how will you ever really like be able to communicate with the guy or the person who made that article, mm-hmm. right? And then you could communicate. You could even video call them, and yeah. then ask them about, hey, how did you do this? I don't understand what you did here, and then you could try and bind everything together, mm-hmm. and like it's like someone made they found a discovery. And then
right.
you could combine other discoveries that you never even thought of that ever existed.
Right.
And then have a final solution, which is like a review paper, basically. And then someone can read that and advance more. Yeah.
Could I make a rebuttal?
Okay, go.
I agree with you that there is research that has improved. I'll take your point on like communication has improved, like the world of communication. But, like, again, we've had phones.
Yes, it has its negatives, but you're not looking at any of the positives.
I'm not saying that there isn't positives. I'm saying, like,
we're in a communication revolution right now.
I know, but how our life, like, okay, for example.
What's your disadvantage of the whole communication part?
All I'm saying is right now we're in a bit of a rut. That's all I'm saying, okay? So research, there's lots of interesting research. In medicine, we've all had to do like really interesting. You're doing interesting research. I'm doing. We're all doing it. Anyway, so I agree like that. There's interesting research, but how has that translated to actual medicine? I don't think it's like and like how has that improved our quality of, like in terms of our.
And we've just been drinking so much espresso.
I'm fine, guys.
Is that number five? Is that shot five?
It's like three or four.
Every time I look at you, you chug one down. Okay,
like our life, wow. Like our life expectancy since the 1970s hasn't dramatically increased. Since maybe the 1920s or 30s or something. Yeah,
maybe you don't know that.
There's statistics on it. You can look it up.
Do you even know them? Or are you just like speaking out of nothing? Yeah, basing right
this
now?
Off? No, I've read like I read the book, like The Great Stagnation, and he goes to the statistics. He was like, life expectancy has maybe improved like by 1 or 2 years. Since the 1970s.
Right.
I'm not, like, making this stuff up. You could look
Do you think we're slowing down in discoveries right now? Or
no, I think we're just, like, stuck right now. That's my opinion. We're stuck.
Do you have any ideas of
I don't know how we're going to get out of
the next revolutionary technology? Like, there was the car, no. The plane, all that.
You're looking in hindsight. That's what's wrong with you, I think.
Okay.
With your opinion.
Okay.
He's looking at, like, advances we made in transportation, and he's like, there's no more advance in transportation. Advances in printing press, there's no more. We've stagnated, pretty stagnated. Yeah, but we're going through a different revolution right now.
I feel like you can't even argue that, like, for example, transportation has stagnated. Like, have you seen what Elon Musk's doing in California? That's revolutionary.
What, the Tesla?
Yeah, no, the underground tunnel.
Okay, we don't know. Like, that's like, he hasn't even started on that. We don't know what that's going
to
look
like. You're saying that we haven't made progress in certain areas, and you're basing that we're not making progress.
I don't know
progress
why you're getting right so now upset. I'm just like,
no, because I think
like you're like cutting me off and saying, no, you're what you're doing is like you're trying to. I don't like. I'm just making an argument.
Okay,
like,
but you know that like technology always improves problems. So do you feel like we're decreasing the problems? Do you know what I mean?
Well, in the case of social media, you can make an argument that it's added more problems.
So,
right.
So by adding more problems, don't you think that there's more solutions? So more technology added on.
You know so technology makes more problems than it solves it. I don't know if that's a good way of going about it. I don't know. But like, okay,
if technology's not advancing, you're saying there's not many more.
I'm not
problems.
Saying it's not advancing. I'm saying like, okay, here's what I'm saying. I didn't say that it wasn't advancing. I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, go ahead.
Okay. All I'm saying. Okay. Here's what I'll say. In the world of bits, you know, technology, there has been, like, increasing advancements. In the world of, like, atoms.
Can you imagine in, like, the 1950s you needed a book and it's not available anywhere in your country? And now it's literally, like, you just pull out your phone and it's okay. there.
Okay, I know that's cool, but like,
I don't get the advancement we've made is insane.
So
or
what,
like,
has our IQ dramatically increased?
Your grandma's dying, and you wouldn't find out for another 50 like days. You wouldn't find out for 2 months.
Say people had telephones back then.
Someone gets lost in the woods, they're dead.
No, I think
that still happens.
2,000 years ago.
I know, but now it's so much less, bro.
I think 2,000 years ago they were so much smarter than us. Like, how do they build the pyramids?
They didn't have access to the information.
Okay, we have more access to information. What has that translated to? Are we smarter?
No, I kind of agree with you that maybe
our IQs are not that much higher.
Okay, fair, but okay, whatever. No, I kind of agree with you that, to a certain extent, too much information, it's an overload.
Yeah.
And a lot of information is useless to many of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the conclusion we've come to is, okay, great, the communication has improved drastically or whatever.
Yes.
But, along with all the, I can, research this, I can, make advancements in
there's a lot of crap
field.
You're
yeah,
throwing at you
that you
don't need.
Garbage that comes along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
so
I agree
it's
with
definitely
that.
Advantageous, but there's also.
But I think it'll fix itself over time.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I don't want to make these make you guys think that I'm saying there has been no advantages. There have been advantages, but
right.
There's also been drawbacks as well. And I think ultimately,
but we can't know until
we look
back.
We're not living a radically difficult. I'm just saying we're not living. It seems to me I could be wrong, and I'm probably wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But it seems to me we're not living a radically more different life. With the exception of social media, we're not living a radically more different life now than we are in 40, 50 years ago.
Okay.
And if technology was supposed to be this exponential thing,
right?
That's supposed to increase exponentially, then we should have seen dramatic changes, right? In the way that we live our lives. And we've seen changes, to be sure. And some of it's for the good, but some of it's for bad. And so how do you explain that lack of change?
I think the changes we've made in technology in the past 100 years
mm-hmm.
are greater than the changes we made in the past in the 1,000 years before that.
Yeah.
I think the problem is we're all sort of born around the same era or time, so we don't actually understand the change that's happened in the last 100 years.
No,
you can never tell if something is good or not unless you look back at it in hindsight.
Exactly.
You'll never find out
we've
whether you're living in it.
That.
The reason we're so wise on the transportation revolution and the industrial revolution is because we're looking back at it in hindsight. You think people that were living back then, people working in factories, for example, they were probably thinking we're living in the worst time ever. Everyone's going to lose their job. How the heck am I going to feed my kids once the factories started becoming automated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were probably sitting there we've stagnated, you know?
So you're saying it's no matter what happens, everything just works
well,
out.
There's something, you'll at the time, there's obviously problems. But when you look back at it, you'll see it worked itself out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So back then they were concerned, just how we're concerned now. That's
just different problems, I think. Right now our problems social media and the weird effect it's having on communication between people that humans aren't used to, the jump that it's made so suddenly. I don't know. Okay, so Yank 2020 or what? What do you think about universal basic income now? Yeah, it's interesting. Anyone have any comments, anything to say? Or do you want just Andrew to start asking his questions?
It's not really questions. It's more just topics.
Okay.
Topics. You want to start those?
Yeah.
Okay. Something that I've been thinking about is the topic of fear. Is it How important is fear, and how mandatory is it in the human society? Do you think that there is more benefits than disadvantages? Do you know what I mean?
We'll let Dave start off this one. Go ahead, Dave.
So you're just talking about fear of anything in
just
general?
Fear, the rush of adrenaline, or you know what I mean?
I feel like that's a really interesting topic you bring up. I think fear is good in moderation. You can't live your life completely scared of every single move you make because, if I cross the road, I could potentially be hit by a car. Okay, that's great. You look both ways. But if you're stuck there and you can't cross and you're sort of, it's hindering your lifestyle. It's definitely not healthy. It's good. Fear can motivate you or whatever. You're scared of failing a class or whatever. But you can't just live your life completely obsessed with the fact I could potentially like get stuck somewhere. Like, you know what I mean?
David, do you think that fear might slow you down because you're so scared of accomplishing something, and then you're just more scared of failing, for example, rather than working hard on passing? Do you think it can be a drawback in that sense?
What do you think, Dave? You bring up a good point, but I just want to get your whole point, and then I'll rebuttal.
Okay, so I don't know.
Until you're done. Just go ahead.
Like, I feel that.
Okay, I'll talk. I'll say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fear, as we all know. Let's begin. Okay. So,
chapter one.
Obviously, it doesn't take a genius, you know, to figure out.
I beg to differ.
That the reason we have fears is it saves our lives. That's what it is.
Yeah, of course.
We've adapted in a way that people who are afraid of certain things and avoided them survived more than those that weren't afraid of them and didn't avoid them. Like
a really systematic approach.
His name is Marco. He's giving me like this topic again.
It all comes back to that.
It all comes back to evolution. But it makes sense, right?
We've developed
fears. People that weren't afraid of going into like a pride of lions at night died.
I mean, obviously, in that sense, fear is like beneficial. Like, if you see a lion, you want to run away, right?
Okay.
But like, do you not think that being fearful of something that you shouldn't really be afraid of really matter? Like, why are we so afraid of things that we shouldn't be afraid of?
Well, I'm gonna get there. It's just gonna take a lot.
I feel like you're taking it from like way too extreme of an approach. I think Andrew is coming more from like, let's say you're talking with someone, you get into a fight, and like you want to avoid that person or whatever. Like you start basing your decisions and judgments and what you're gonna do every day based on, oh, is that person there? I'm gonna avoid this person. You know what I mean or no?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I get it. You're saying. Let me give this argument the way Sam Harris gives. You all know Sam Harris, right? Marco, talk to me.
Just give me 1 second. Just 1 second.
Okay, I'll just continue what I'm saying then. So fear is obviously inbuilt to help us survive, right? But back then, the problem was there was a lot more dangers than there are now that we have to face today, right? Mm-hmm. But we've gotten rid of the dangers really quickly. Like,
yeah, there's nothing that really hunts
like it make every like, fear could be like explained.
Yeah.
That's like a physical fear. Like rats, for example. Why are people afraid of rats? Because people that weren't afraid of rats died of the plague, basically. Right? The rats would bite them and they'd die of the plague, and people that right? Right?
Marco just shakes his head. He's like, what are
no,
you
no,
saying?
No, sorry. I've checked out for the last 10 minutes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the plague and other diseases. Do you agree with me, David?
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree. But I feel like it's such an extreme approach.
Okay, so I'm getting
like,
there.
Are you going to get to your
point?
Yeah,
I'm going to get there. So,
that's
like,
what I always say.
So I think the fears we have today are a lot more abstract, right? Like it just turns into like anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
For example,
that's the point I brought up, sort of.
Like when you're afraid of like I'm back then you would be afraid of like a physical stimuli, but now in like this workplace like kind of environment, you're afraid that like I don't know, like
of losing your job and livelihood.
Yeah, you're
which
afraid.
Is unreal, can, like,
you're afraid that if like you do a calculation wrong here, that you would lose your job and you'd lose your like family and you wouldn't be able to feed your kids. So back then you were afraid of like a physical stimuli, but now you're afraid of like a calculation, which is like, I don't know. It's more our fears have become like more abstract. And I think that's building up a lot more. Like,
and
anxiety.
I feel like with the introduction of like social media, especially a lot of our fears have like no need to actually
be fears. Yeah.
Like we're so dumb as like a generation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Sometimes some people are just like, it's been like 2 hours and I have 10 likes on my photo. does yeah. no one like me? Do you
and
know
the,
what I mean?
And it's weird because that provokes the same like response in your body, yeah. the same like cortisol. Your cortisol goes up. Your adrenaline starts rushing.
Okay, calm down, Dr. Ants.
No, it's true. It's true. No, like you would start sweating.
This is one of the bad things about social media.
Yeah, yeah. You'd get like the same response from like your cortisol goes up. If you go into fight or flight mode, you, like your heart rate increases and all that stuff. From something that's not even there, that your body doesn't need to respond in that way to it, than it would for a physical stimuli.
Like if you receive a text message from someone and like you're a little anxious, like I feel like you it might provoke the same response as like, oh, you almost got hit by a car.
Exactly.
Like it's that extreme. Now. And it's there's so unnecessary
reason,
too. Yeah.
There's a reason it's provoking that response if you're about to get hit by a car or if like you're about to get into a fight with someone, right? It's because it needs to be on alert. You know, fight or flight mode, your heart rate needs to go up. You need to be able, your vision needs to get better. You need to get blood into your, like, muscles. You need to get sugar into your body so you could start, like, but if you get all that stuff and your heart rate goes up and your sugar goes into your body and all that stuff from, like, sitting in front of a desk, I think that's causing a lot of health problems in our society. When you're continuously getting, like, stress response, like, while you're just, like, sitting in front of a desk, which there's no need for that continuous stress response, that's causing a lot of health problems.
And I feel like, I don't know, recently, I sort of strayed away from a lot of social media, and it's so relaxing. It's unbelievable. You get really anxious and stressed at first, like, oh, like, ooh, Snapchat.
You're
like,
FOMO.
Do I have
FOMO.
Snapchats and stuff? Yeah, like, you feel like, don't oh, feel like they're doing something
out.
Without me or
yeah,
whatever.
You feel left
out, right?
Right. You usually yeah. feel left out, and then, yeah, then what's it like after? You get used to it.
Like, you just feel so relaxed. Like, I'm so happy that I can open my phone now and not have to be like, Snapchat, who sent me a Snapchat? Like, it's just so unnecessary. And it sounds so stupid coming out of my mouth.
Right.
But as soon as you put it into practice, it's so relaxing.
Right.
And, like, I've come back to Snapchat now, but, like, I'm not nearly as obsessed with it as I was before.
I just don't think our bodies are adapted to the type of stress we're putting on it.
Yeah.
It's producing, like, the response
the
is off.
The stimuli that we've gotten, like, the
yeah.
constant stimuli that we're getting in terms of our social interactions, where we're just like,
it doesn't know how to respond to it.
We know where what our friends are doing at all times, almost at
yeah.
every point. And if your friends don't talk to you, like because of this increased access to our communication,
right?
Like going back to what we were talking about before, maybe we weren't meant to have constant communication. With
I don't,
people.
Yeah, or
because
just our bodies haven't adapted
constant
to it.
Communication and like for whatever reason you just didn't mm-hmm. get didn't get that text message or Snapchat or whatever, then you start to feel anxiety that you're being socially isolated and socially like.
And that's an inappropriate response.
It's
responding in that way, there's no need for the body to respond in that way to this stimuli. There's a need for it to respond to like a physical stimuli or something like that. But responding in like an anxiety response and like a fear response and like a stress response to nothing in front of you, like a screen, that's not, I don't think that's healthy. It's not your
it's
body.
It
hasn't developed
a
response
yeah,
for
it's
it.
It's ridiculous how a screen gives you anxiety at this point. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like raises your blood pressure. A
yeah.
screen raises your blood pressure. That's not. We haven't adapted to responding to this kind of stuff mm-hmm. because it came out at us so fast.
There's tons of things our body hasn't adapted to. We haven't adapted to like having. Okay, this has nothing to do with fear, but like
mm-hmm.
you know, we haven't adapted to like the amount of carbohydrates that we take.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it's like. Before, like once we got carbohydrates, our body was like, store this.
Yeah.
Store this because you might not get it again for a while.
Exactly.
And now our body's like, we can get carbohydrates from like any time we want.
And it's
so
just
our body
constantly
just keeps
storing.
And then that's how we get obesity and cardiovascular disease.
Yeah.
And obesity is rising, even though technology is rising. And we were talking about technology in the last part, but it kind of relates. But even though technology is rising, obesity is rising, we're not really improving ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't think these problems can be solved, though.
What makes you say that? Like, I don't understand. There's very simple solutions to all these problems.
No.
No, that's when you know Ant just likes to argue.
Dude, just pass laws. Pass laws against technology. Okay?
The Unabomber. Okay.
No. We are not endorsing anything. Like
yes,
that.
He was wrong. I'm just kidding.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, his way of going about it was wrong. But the idea. Okay.
We could just cut that off there. Like, there's no, like,
just need stop. To. All right, all right. No, Unabomber.
But you know what I did want to bring up? I feel like, what? Like, with the introduction of social media, it's not only sort of the fear and anxiety that comes with it. Like, oh, I have a text message. Like, oh, I have to check it or whatever. Like, I can't leave it unread for too long. I feel like also, like, the social implications it has as, like, we gather around with, like, friends or whatever, mm-hmm. and everyone's on their phone. Like, as soon as you get put into the real world, you have to interact with people.
Right.
Like, it just becomes awkward and tense.
But you know what? You know what? It's that sometimes people find that texting someone is so much easier than talking to them in person.
I don't find that at all.
No, I see that.
Texting is easier than talking to people? Absolutely.
Yeah, see.
Absolutely? Are you crazy?
No, you don't have to, like, look at them in the eye.
What happens is someone sends you a text. You can think about it. And then you could respond at any time in a way. Right, but then when you're with someone right in front of you,
okay.
you have to give a response right away, and then it's like, oh,
but you're missing so much of the communication.
I feel like with the point,
what he's saying is it's easier. It's like
I'm just saying instead it's easier.
Of, if you have like social anxiety and you can't like look at people in the eye, the texting is so much better. That's why. Mm. Why do you think people are like, please don't call me, text me? Because people have social anxiety.
I know people that are like that, but I don't understand it.
Because they have social anxiety of talking to people. Like, even you're not even seeing them, you're just talking to them. And people have anxiety about that. They're just like, no.
It just feels so weird, though. Like, I'm like, what does his face look like when he's texting me that?
Yeah, no. See, here's the thing. I can agree with pretty much everyone, like, a little. But I feel like if you actually need to bring across something like useful, like something deep or whatever,
like, say a point,
like if
someone.
You text that and you're missing all the facial expression and sort of the communication.
No, we got emojis for that. We got emojis.
Okay, that's exactly. That's
you need laugh cry emoji.
I hate emojis because you'll say something so serious and put a, like a crying face next to it.
Yeah,
and
laugh cry emoji.
Masks
my mother's dead.
Laugh cry emoji.
That literally comes to like we don't know.
My dog got hit by a car. Like
no, but we say LOL. We always just say LOL at the end. As long as you say LOL, everything's okay.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. Yeah, I don't
so
like
stupid.
Texting. Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you actually have to deliver something of some sort of value, you have to do it face-to-face. Like, there's no option there.
Yeah.
No matter how uncomfortable it is, honestly, you need to be able to deliver your points. Like, it'll come eventually. You just sort of sit there. It'll just take longer.
Honestly,
but texting is
so
just
much,
so
yeah.
stupid.
There's
yeah.
so much misunderstanding through texting.
What was the question? What was the question that you asked?
We were talking about fear.
Oh, fear.
But, like, but there's... but do you think that someone would be more relaxed by texting because... Or be
no.
more fearful... by talking to them in person. That's why we're connecting the fear with communication through technology, right? So some of
us
are
I think
are
fear
saying,
is essential, but our body is getting afraid of things that shouldn't be afraid of
in
today's
with that.
Society.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
because that's the only response that knows how to respond to things, even though it's inappropriate to the stimuli it's being given.
And it's getting worse now because we're so interconnected, technologically speaking, that we can't even have a moment to ourselves.
Right.
And that social anxiety follows us around everywhere.
Do you think...
Instead of in isolated areas in work or school or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think, like, taking medication to reduce your stress and your anxiety is a benefit? Or, like, we should...
Oh, that's a tough one.
Do you know what
it
I mean?
It can be, but, like, it depends, you know? Like, everyone's different. So, like, fear could be, like... Anxiety...
It's a temporary solution,
like,
I think.
Yeah, I was about to say. Like, there's no solution... at least this is my opinion.
You're just trying
feel
to
like
cope with the way society is right now. Like you if
you
can't fix it, you're just
coping
with it.
To deal with it. You can't rely on, you know, other things to help. Like obviously, like in short periods of time, they're useful, but like you need to find ways to manage.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes being fearful of something that's not too important, like an anxiety attack or just walking outside and people you're afraid of people judging you on how you look. What's
right.
What's the
social phobia?
So there's another specific word for it, but I forgot.
Social anxiety.
Social
no,
anxiety.
There isn't. It's like the fear.
Oh, agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. That's it. So
well, you need help at that point. Like that's a medically diagnosed
yeah,
mental
it's a disorder.
Illness. So
yeah.
you need professional help if you have that, right? You can't deal with it on your own. So, like,
if
you,
know.
You
oh,
I also
I,
mean,
I thought you could like cope with it though.
Agoraphobia is like a mental illness. Right? So
yeah, it is.
So.
No, I was gonna bring up a completely different topic. So finish this and then I'll.
No, I'm just saying like
you will not be scared.
It's just like if you have some sort of mental illness, you need to get help, right? Like,
yeah.
Agoraphobia is one of those things. So like, But like even then, you know, I'm no like mental health expert, but like they would use a combination of depending on your severity of medication, but you also need to find ways of coping with your social anxiety.
Therapy is an actual benefit to anxiety.
Like, dude, you're asking like a hundred, like we're jumping from topic to topic.
No, it's on anxiety. The whole thing is on fear. Now,
but like you're like talking, is medication useful? Is therapy useful?
That's another can of worms.
Yeah, like if you talk like, okay, I don't know. I'm not going to bring that up. It's going to start a whole long argument. I don't
like, what are we going to debate?
I'm going to go back to evolution. All right, well then.
Stay tuned to next podcast.
What time are we at right now? How long have we been recording?
I think we should be at
2:30 right now. So
45 minutes, I think, okay. We've been recording for.
Should we wrap this up soon?
Let me say something. Okay. Let's do like one more question from Andrew.
Okay.
After this.
I don't know if I have another question.
No, we'll do one more. You don't have any other questions?
Well, I was thinking about that topic.
Yeah, yeah. Give another topic. Just let me finish. Let me say something. Okay, I want to say something.
Go ahead. No one's stopping you.
Just backtrack a little bit.
The evolution?
No, to the social media thing. I heard an argument, so this isn't my thoughts. I heard someone else say this, as usual, with my thoughts. they're not my actual thoughts. I hear them from other people. People were saying that, like, the jealousy that you get, right? If you're looking at, like, celebrities and stuff. He's like back then, like that would have been like a fine response because you wouldn't know much about many other people. It would just be like you and like maybe like six other, seven other like tribes people. Mm-hmm. And if someone is more successful than you are, he's making more food, he's making more like resources or whatever. It makes sense to be jealous of him as in a way to like try to figure out what he's doing in a way to drive you so that you could survive as well as he did. Right. But he's saying, like, now that you have access to all of these people's lives, like, your response to looking at someone who's more successful than you are, he's in a completely different environment, like, a completely different everything, but you have access to all these successful people, and in a way, it's making your self-esteem, like, a lot lower. Like, you think you're much, much less because you have access to all these successful people's lives always being blasted at you, when really, like, that response is mainly if someone is, like, just like you wouldn't have had access to that stuff back then, so you think you're much less, but in reality I don't know. I just feel like that you're it's too much information, right? I don't know. Now you want to say anything? You're just gonna keep. No, I'm done. Yeah, that's it.
No, I think no.
That was great. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So, we need to wrap this up soon because I gotta go.
All right. Fair enough. David, say something.
Yeah, well, anything?
How did you like it?
Thank you for being here.
You are actually our second guest ever on this podcast.
No way.
Yeah, it's just been you and Jay.
Dog.
Jay. Yeah, Jay. G. Whoever her name is. I couldn't even care less. It's just been you and her. So what is your experience with this? You were nervous at the beginning that you wouldn't be able to talk.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to this back.
Because it was really rambly.
And I have the least podcastable voice. I think.
No, yours is pretty
ever.
Good.
Fine.
Like, I'm going to listen to it back and be so annoyed.
Really?
Dude, yeah.
I don't think so.
It's going to be terrible.
Oh, you're going to hate the sound of your own voice.
Yeah, like, no,
that,
I hate it.
That never goes
No,
away.
I really like
honestly,
it.
Honestly, oh.
I okay, love the sound of my own voice.
That's, Whoa, wait.
Why is that wrong? Okay.
Why whatever. Is that wrong?
No, you get used to it, honestly. I hated it in the beginning. I'm like, why do people talk to me?
Yeah,
and then,
same.
Yeah.
Not you, but me.
Yeah, so you were nervous. You wouldn't be able to be like, you wouldn't be able to like talk with us for like an hour. But I don't think it was fine, right?
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah.
Like our environment, it's not like we're like.
Like I'm looking around the room right now and like there's like 6 5-liter water bottles, a thing of meatballs and like some weights and a guitar. Like it's a very welcoming environment.
Yeah.
This is our studio, bro. This is what we, this is like.
Welcome.
Yeah, so yeah. That's, I don't know. I just wanted to like. We're cool, right?
you guys are cool. There's
are
no
we,
need
cool?
to be anxious.
Are we cool, okay. Man? Thank you so much for saying that.
But yo, thanks for being on the podcast with us. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, dude, thanks.
Yeah.
We'll see you on the next podcast.
We'll see you next time, guys. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.